is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with that. Look at the new lighting in here. If you get on the stream, you can see some new lighting. It's except these, I think, have to be on, but I don't think we want them. We don't need them. But it's like we're in a shadow here. So it's
we're not as streamed up.
It's the Twin Peaks video stream right here on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty dark on the
stream. Isn't it? Look at it.
Stream.
Yeah. It's so if you're looking for a great way to watch two guys talk, then you should get on that.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's nonstop. Hijinks and hilarity. A lot of stuff going on in the world of sports, and by that I mean virtually nothing. Although we did have James do an interview, and it was an interesting interview. Rachel Nichols sat down with James. It's funny, you know, I almost feel like James, he was a facilitator again. In All-Star games, James really, I think he takes a back seat.
No, he does.
He always does because I think he doesn't, I think he wants to be liked. I think he wants to be, I don't think he enjoys the ball hog. I don't think he wants his peers. And a lot of the guys, like Brian Windhorst said, you know, they really don't like him because of the stuff that goes on with the flopping and the flailing and he steps into you and the potential walking on his three pointers and the step backs and all that stuff that goes on. I think he, when he's with those guys, he likes to take a bit of a different role with them and say, look, I'm just a regular guy here. I'm just a guy.
Well, he was a scorer off the bench at Oklahoma City. He's been a leader in the league of assists. His assist totals have always been high since he's been put on the ball. He's always had good assist totals. I don't think James is a ball hog. I think James is a lead scorer who is really leaning into that role this year, and is currently chasing a streak. I mean, it is what it is. You have to acknowledge that. But I don't think he's, by his very nature, just going to be looking for his own shot and not looking for others. That's never struck me as his game. And he has been, and he is not. There are some guys like Kobe was going to get his shots off in the All-Star game. Kobe's always going to get his shots off everywhere he's ever played at any time. But James in an All-Star game, I do think he likes to fit in with the other guys. And it was a little strange to hear Brian Windhorst. It was strange, but not really in a way. I don't know why. I don't have any idea of the inner workings of the NBA supercell of LeBron and KD and Steph and whoever else is in the makes up the big, you know, the big conglomerate.
Well, who's the click?
I don't.
I guess it's.
Well, see, I don't know who James's click is. I think James clicks with his own boys.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I think, you know, I've heard from Adidas guys that, like, James is always with his dudes.
No.
James is with his crew. So I don't, you know, I don't really know who that he has NBA super brethren. Like, when Daryl Morey had his play or his musical that came out, and I went to the opening, it was Michael Lewis from Moneyball. And there were, you know, all these people, Manny from Modern Family. And then you had Chris.
That's
Paul.
Daryl hangs out with Manny from.
Oh, he's down with Manny. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no.
Manny's
I would
big
be too. Manny's
Monster Rockets fan.
Yeah.
Monster.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, too. It just seems like an odd couple.
Well, I mean, he came to games. Daryl likes movies, and his daughter is in TV, radio, or I think film or TV or something like that. So he actually is, Daryl's really into theater and stage, has been into it for a long, long time.
I get that.
And then you have Chris Paul and PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza there all together. I don't know that James is not a hangout with Chris Paul off the court guy, which is fine. That's irrelevant. But, I don't know that he is a click up with a lot of guys around the NBA. And the only reason that matters at all, I, for one, I don't know that I care about James being click, you know, super clicked with all these guys. But it does matter in today's NBA.
It absolutely matters.
You want guys who want to come play with you.
Yes.
So it actually,
if you're
now it does matter more. It used to be just, I don't know, if somebody trades for me, I'll go play with you.
Right.
And that's how
it works. That's not how it is. It's to hang with your boy. I want to play with my boy now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. I don't think he really has that.
I don't know. But why would guys around the league not like him? I wonder if they think it's some of the same. I wonder if it's some of the same perception that we have had locally at different times about, well, he didn't show up in this big game, you know? Because the game
is it
six,
that or is it? I mean, I could do what James is doing too if I, you know, had the ball more than anybody in my hands, more than anybody, you know.
Maybe.
I mean, James is getting all this attention for, you know.
It could be. I don't know
all that he's doing.
I don't know. I don't know. It could be that. It could be, you know, the Scottie Pippins. I think the Steven Jackson, Scottie Pippins, they see it as, now Steven Jackson probably sees him as, he's a scorer, but he's not a winner. Based on what I've seen Steven Jackson say, that's what it feels like. Because that guy has won. There's going to be some of that. I think there's going to be some of the thing that you're talking about. Like James is scoring all these points, but he's also taking a bunch of shots. He dribbles it. He's on the ball all the time. There'll be some of that stuff too. And then for others, It might just be maybe because he does his own thing and he has fun doing his own thing and he's not part of the super crew or whatever. Maybe that's something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. All I know that the only thing that really matters is how he helps the team win and does he win in a postseason. That, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters because James isn't getting in trouble off the court. I mean, he has his fun times, you know, throwing a cell phone on a roof or whatever, I don't know that we want to video stream him 24 hours a day. I don't know that the kids would necessarily love that. But James is living the life of a superstar, a life that a lot of people would love to live, or at least live vicariously through him in a manner. But I don't think. But all that matters when it's all said and done is, does James help you win in a regular season, and does James step up big in the postseason when it matters?
Well,
that matters.
That's wrong. That's wrong. What matters is he the MVP? Because that's the most important question that is haunting the Rockets in this city today.
Look at all what we've had to go through when you put, you know, any other guy in the situation that I've been in. It probably wouldn't be here. We're in the same situation, you know. And so we got a chance to get to that, you know, top three seed in the West, which we all know how difficult that is.
That's not his MVP answer. That's just not it.
What was his MVP answer?
MVP answer is, she asked him, are you the MVP? And he answered, yes, I'm the MVP. Yes, I'm the MVP. Okay?
Okay.
That's all there is to it. Okay? And he's...
All right.
Probably right, although I would think that voters, I mean, we've seen James not even make the first three teams All-NBA when he was the second leading scorer in the league.
But he didn't deserve to that year.
No, he didn't.
He scored, it didn't have an impact on winning.
Go ahead, tell Daryl Morey he didn't deserve it.
Well, he had no impact on winning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
41 and 41, he didn't have an impact on winning.
No, he didn't have an impact on winning, but there are guys that don't win that make the first three teams. And go ahead and tell Daryl Morey he didn't deserve it because Daryl will punch you right in your face.
I mean, they're going to cape for their guy, and that's great. And that's great. And you know what? The Texans will do the same thing. The Astros will do the same thing. AJ would never just sit there and let somebody have a high statistical year and say, he didn't deserve it. He wouldn't do that either.
No.
None of those guys.
But I will say this. I think that voters... they see. I don't know. For whatever reason, there's a resentment about James... And I don't know if it's a jealousy or if it's a resentment or it's, I just don't like watching him or he's not that personable or he's not funny or whatever it is about James. I could certainly see Giannis Antetokounmpo winning this just because, you know what? James won it last year. Screw him.
Yeah, that's not even a personal thing. Giannis is winning at a higher level.
Yeah.
Giannis is performing consistently. He's winning at a higher level.
But if you look at what James James is doing something.
Something in scoring.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. That's great. The top scorer doesn't always win the MVP.
Right. But you also, you could argue, well, look at the injuries that he's had and the Rockets are still winning. Listen, with that team, who would have won as many games as James is winning right now?
I would be shocked right now if he were better than if he were better than third in an MVP vote?
Oh, I think he'll finish at least second.
He might. He's not gonna. It's not his turn. He had his turn last year, and it does feel like that. It does feel like the NBA goes, okay, last year was James's turn, as long as he put together a big year, and he did.
Yeah.
And they won at a high level.
Yeah.
This year, Giannis is winning at a high level. He's playing consistently. He's elevated his game. Every check mark that you need. Statistics are good. Elevated game this year, higher than it's ever been. And his team is performing at a high level. All the check marks are there.
Yeah.
James's check mark is they have regressed record-wise. Whether it's his fault or not is irrelevant. People look at what are you responsible for doing in the win column. So, and it's not a slight of James. I mean, James is going to finish in the top three again in the MVP.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's an interesting study in why a guy is liked, not liked, or whatever. But when that study's done, he's one of the top five players in the NBA. And people argue about it. What about this guy? What about Anthony Davis can't stay on the court because his shoulder. Over the last 5 years, he has trouble staying on the court. You know, you got to stay on the court to be one of the best. The argument of Shaq versus Olajuwon should end immediately because Shaq was hurt about 60% of his career. He couldn't stay on the court.
Shaq versus Olajuwon, that's not the argument.
Well, I've had that one before.
No, that's not the argument. Skip Bayless yesterday said
that is the most
said
any rats that take that cheese, that's the most obvious rat bait I've ever seen.
So in their discussion yesterday,
pull it up just so you can hear Shannon Sharp.
You know it? Do you know it, though?
Just put Skip Bayless, stupid ass. I'm
disgusted by it.
Just put stupid ass Skip Bayless, dumbass, stupid ass, and then Google that, and it should pop up like 30th.
They were talking about Dirk being the greatest foreign player ever.
Which is dumb.
And Shannon Sharp said, no, Hakeem Olajuwon is the greatest foreign player ever. And Skip Bayless.
Don't say it. Let's play it for people who didn't hear it. Let's let people just hear it. Don't say the name.
The outrage on Twitter, and I just went, people are stupid.
You felt
you people
it.
Are all stupid. That you listen to anything that Skip Bayless ever says, it is amazing. I mean, there were calls for his head that he should not be able to have a national sports show. And
he's truly, he is the embodiment. And frankly, I really think he invented the public persona of a troll in sports. I really do. I think he was the first one. He was trolling University of Houston fans in 84 at the Cotton Bowl. We went to the Cotton Bowl. My dad was coaching for U of H. And he called all the fans, the cockroaches from Houston were coming in. He met the fans. They were scurrying up to Dallas to watch. It was a troll article. Mm-hmm. It was a troll. He called everyone cockroaches. And people, and this is before people knew, they were like, oh, my God. People were furious. This guy's been a troll his entire career. He started it on TV. He made a bunch of money off of it by doing that. And then Stephen A. Smith started figuring out, I need to take over this
role. How much money I can make.
Once Skip left. Yeah, and they do make a lot of money. Have you ever seen when he goes to First Take on the road and he like he's godlike. Mm-hmm. Like he opens his arms up to the crowd and they go, oh, Stephen! And he's like, Jesus is here. And like, oh my God, Jesus is here! Jesus is here! Jesus on Sports Talk! And like, I'm just
Sports
thinking,
Talk Jesus?
That's Sports what Talk is. Jesus. Mm. And part of him is contrarian, part of him is
Jesus
is baby troll. Not like Skip, though. That's a whole different.
I think Jesus would have known that Eric Weddle isn't with San Diego anymore.
Nah,
I
mean, Jesus got more important things.
Jesus?
No, Jesus would have known that Hunter Henry was out.
Hunter Henry was out.
I don't think so.
On IR. He would have
like
known
Jesus
that.
Has other things to worry about than Arkansas tight ends.
No, Jesus would have known that Dwayne Haskins is not a scrambler.
He's not a runner.
He would have definitely known.
Jesus doesn't focus on college football till like March. So I don't think he would have known.
He doesn't care about recruiting.
He doesn't watch the recruiting.
Draft season doesn't start for Jesus till March. He wouldn't have known.
7:13. Okay,
Jesus
when we come
watches
back.
Combine.
When we come
yes,
back.
He's very well aware of the combine on the digital platforms.
Jesus doesn't watch the combine.
We will have Skip Bayless and his thoughts on Hakeem Olajuwon when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
But I'll tell you right now that I've got my thoughts on Texas Custom Patios, and they are good. If you go to the website texascustompatios.com, you can pick up so much. And for many of you, you would love to have a patio, but You say, well, what does a patio look like? Well, I can tell you this. What you think it looks like and what they're building at Texas Custom Patios are probably a lot different. Go to the website, and they've got actual pictures of patios they've built. And I'm talking about beautiful brick, beautiful stone, big screen TV, surround sound systems, drainage in your yard, if that's what you need. They build build onto a pre-existing structure, which would obviously be your house. They can tie it on there, or they can build it separate. I've seen some that are separate buildings, separate from the house, that are built away from the house. So it really doesn't matter what it is that you're trying to build, whether it's an outdoor kitchen, an enclosure, a patio enclosure, maybe a sunroom, or an outdoor living space like I have. They are going to build it, and you are going to really, really enjoy the benefits of it. Go to the website, TexasCustomPatios.com, and you can see outdoor kitchens, outdoor fireplaces, decorative patios, freestanding covers, decks and pergolas, gable-style roofs, which is what I have, which really takes it to another level. And on their blog, they've got their current projects, and you can see exactly what some of these projects look like, as well as before and after, so you can kind of envision what your patio and what your home could look like. If you want to see how it happened for me, you want to see the before and after, which always blows people away, go to tcplance.com and you can see the before, not good, and the after, incredible. tcplance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so Skip Bayless, when last we left you, Skip Bayless was talking about Hakeem Olajuwon. And they, and Shannon Sharp thinks Hakeem is the best foreign player to ever play in the NBA. Skip likes Dirk. As a matter of fact, he took it a step further.
I don't know what Dirk thinks he's going to get out of this. Oh. Dirk's never going to be a top five player, top 10. Dirk is maybe, he's not even top 50 anymore. That's okay. There's not, I believe he's the second greatest foreign-born player ever. I do not believe he's better than Hakeem Olajuwon. Now, some can disagree with that, but I believe Dream.
I'd be with you on this one.
A lot of people forget that Dream was born in Nigeria, but because he played basketball at the University of Houston, people think he's an American. But
of course,
no.
I must add, I think Manu Ginobili is better than Hakeem, but that's just me. I'm going to throw it out there because he's...
I'm going to throw you out of the building.
You don't get how special
Manu was.
You don't get it.
You're about to get up out of here, Skip.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
No, don't tell me.
I'm not going to back off that.
I don't mind you saying it.
Throwing it out.
If you want to say that subconsciously, mm-hmm. where people can't hear you,
I just
have at it. No.
I can't hate. I don't think I can. As far as literally anyone in the media, and I know people, they dislike me, and you hear me on the radio, and you have to turn it off. I get that.
Obviously.
That happens because you just rub people the wrong way. That's the dude that rubs me. When there's another local guy that rubs me that I just can't listen to. I just have to turn it off. But Skip is just and God bless. He's making $5 million a year for five. He's going to make $25 million doing this show.
He figured out.
He
unlocked the cheat code a long time ago.
No.
Be an a-hole. Take contrarian positions. Play the bad guy role. I mean, he's the original bad guy wrestler that figured it out.
Yeah.
That you could actually create a cottage industry of bad guy, and he's done it. I mean, he figured it out as a writer, and he doesn't mind looking dumb sometimes. He doesn't mind looking uninformed with some of his opinions. He doesn't care. His end game is, I'm going to get paid because this is the part that I play, and it's a role he plays. And now, I have heard he's not the nicest guy in the world.
No.
I've heard his brother, Rick Bayless, who's a famous chef in Chicago, hates Skip. Like, they don't get along at all.
Well, how can you, if you're his brother,
and
you hate
him?
The more you know him, you have to hate him more, I would imagine.
Exactly. And Rick couldn't be a nicer,
Really?
You know, straight up dude.
You know, I think I met him. I've met him.
You may have.
I think I
you
have.
You may have the glasses and like, but Rick is just the coolest dude. And then you saw, you know, Woody Page had to get this big personality. All of a sudden, all the TV guys on Around the Horn is where it started. Because I think Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, they take their personalities and maybe they elevate it a little bit, but I think it's pretty much who they are.
Yeah, for the most part.
But then Woody Page took his a little far.
Oh yeah, he had those little funny sayings on the chalkboard.
Like all those guys started seeing, man, first of all, our industry is going down, and number two, if we can really make some money like Skip did, but they can't take it as far as Skip.
I like Stephen A. too. When Stephen A. was on 94.1, I would listen to him.
I think he's okay.
I do too. He does his shtick, and that's fine.
You know, Richard Justice will tell you he's really like Richard knew him for years as a writer. Now he's probably changed some over the years because this is back in the mid 2000s, but. He said he's not in person. He's not really like that is a character that he does. Yeah. And he's understood the elevation. He was with Skip.
Huh.
He understands the elevation of a character.
But and I like Jason Whitlock a lot. I love listening to
him. Do you like Raheel's character that he does? Does Raheel have a good character? Like, I know Mega Blast doesn't like it, but do you like his character that he's developing, which I'm not sure. What is Raheel's character?
A phony baloney.
Well, what's your definition? Because I've already called him, he's a big phony. And I'm fine with it because I know what he's about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people like tend to believe that Raheel's a sincere person.
Yeah. And he learned from Hoffman.
Those people are stupid if they do believe that.
And Mega Blast, you talk about, and I tweeted Mega Blast. Yes, I said Mega Blast. He's like, oh, he goes to the race car. I said, you don't understand. He's trolling. He doesn't even care. He doesn't care about anything. He doesn't. So, but he brings up the race immediately. You make it 12 minutes in, and he's talking about race, and it makes him cry. And stop. Raheel could not care less. He doesn't care about anything. That's the whole phony baloney thing. He makes you think like he cares, and he doesn't.
Mega Blast, why are you so? Stop being so triggered.
What are you?
Snowflake.
He is.
So you make him back on Snowflake.
Well, stop being a snowflake.
What do you, Rio? What do you stand for?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I choose to do what I like, and then I'll change my opinion tomorrow. Yes.
If you watched Hamilton, you'd know he's Aaron Burr. He just stands
all right,
for really nothing.
We get
nothing.
It. You're cultured.
That's right.
We understand,
that's
Lance.
Right, Del.
You're cultured.
Your little French subtitle movie didn't buy you any culture points.
I'm not trying to see. The problem with you is you think Hamilton bought you culture points.
I've been doing this.
You're just pumpkin spice latte lady who went to Hamilton.
There's went no to difference. Network. No,
there's no difference between you.
No, I'm sorry. Original cast, Del. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, you have more in common with pumpkin spice latte than someone who's actually cultured.
You are basic.
No, I am cultured.
Hamilton is the basic of all the alleged cultured things that people go to. You basic.
MoMA,
bitch, you basic.
The MoMA, the MFA.
I'm sorry, Del.
I don't fit your little stereotype of what you want me
you
to be, Del.
You don't have to apologize to me. You're basic. That's all.
I'm sorry you don't. I don't fit your little...
The problem with you is you think I think about you at all.
You do.
That's
your problem. I'm on your mind.
That's your problem.
He is in your head.
You are Mega Blast and I am Raheel.
He's in your head.
I am Raheel and you are Mega Blast.
How so?
Yeah. He's in your head.
You text me far more often than I text you.
Del.
Wouldn't that be the case?
Let me out of here.
Hey, Lance, when we're not at work, who texts who more? You or me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, because
you're on Glory Boys.
You're asleep.
Or whatever. No,
you're always napping.
But Lance will directly text me, and I won't text him back.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
He wants to get in your head deeper. That's why. Nobody dislikes John Granato. That's just crazy talk. However, the entire state of West Virginia hates Lance's ass.
That is true. I can't wait. So all the West Virginia fans, Dana, everyone's right. Will Greer is expected to go in the top 10 quarterbacks this year drafted. And David Sills looking like a first rounder.
No, not really.
Well, I am actually hearing he should go day three. So on Saturday is going to be a big day for West Virginia.
Well, that's not first rounder per se.
Well, how am I supposed to put him in my top 10 wide receivers in all of college football if he's not a top two round guy, since all the top 10 receivers should be top two rounds?
Well, because...
In three draft classes.
But because
I'm right.
Because
my
don't
bad.
Know. You don't
nah,
know.
My bad.
No,
I
because
watched
you
tape.
Don't
Sorry.
Know anything about it. Well, Sorry. when he's an all pro, then you're going to regret it.
Well, I'll be waiting.
Yeah.
I sure will.
Yeah, that's what you'll regret.
Okay? That dude can go get it
just
now.
Because all of you idiots are wrong doesn't mean... Yeah, in NFL... general managers as well.
I'm tired of the entire state of West Virginia trying to tell everyone their business. Every time somebody has an opinion, the entire state gets all uppity and tries to start attacking you. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Just here's something. Let's bring wind energy into West Virginia and really clean that state up.
Hey man, okay. I disagree with Skip Bayless' take on Manu being better than Dream. I think Akeem is better. Thanks, Chance. Thanks. Chance thinks Akeem is better than Manu Ginobili. Well, that makes one of you.
No, no, no. I
well, now
too.
It's a 50-50 deal.
No, I'm with him. And I don't care if that's unpopular or not.
Two-thirds votes.
Yeah, I don't care
if it's unpopular. Two-thirds of the votes are with Akeem.
I don't care if I'm unpopular or not. I think Akeem is better than Manu.
Yeah. Okay.
Personally, I see it as Tony Parker, but that's fine. Either Tony or Manu. Like, oh, really, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like, personally, I think Luke has already passed Olajuwon. Like, you can't. His stuff is so basic and obvious. The Manu, he could have got away with a Dirk thing. The Manu thing is such an obvious troll that I was like, come on, don't take the cheese.
I think
people took the cheese.
Well, but who has more titles? Dream or Manu?
I disagree with him about what he said about Dirk not, or what Shannon said about Dirk not being top 50. I do think Dirk is a top 50 player.
Yeah.
I think easily top 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's hard for American born athletes seem to have this bias against international athletes. Whether you like Dirk or not, dude, Dirk was a legit player.
He had legitimately one of the unstoppable shots in basketball.
Yeah, it is. If he had more personality, it'd be iconic.
Along with Jordan's fade.
The 1 foot step back fade, yeah. It was, especially at, you know, whatever he was, almost at 6'11", yeah. It was unstoppable.
Yeah.
He had mid-range game, he had fadeaway game, he had three-point game. He was not the fastest, quickest guy. He didn't really put it on the ground effectively in terms of getting by guys. Dirk ended up being way better than I ever anticipated. Way better.
The sky hook, Jordan's fadeaway, Dirk's one-footer. I think Kevin Durant's... His three-point shot. How can you stop it?
I think Steph's...
He's at 6'11". Well, Steph's too.
I think
but
Steph's,
how do you stop a 6'11 three-point shot?
Well, but what's iconic about it? Just because he's tall? There's got to be something a defining... Like, Steph's defining characteristic is how quick it comes out.
Yeah, right.
It's unbelievable. James is obviously will go down as one of the most. Along with Jordan's triangle offense fadeaway. You know, Kobe actually just copied the same thing. Kobe's.
Oh, that's because he's a phony. He's just like Raheel. That's why Raheel's the way he is.
I would say AI's crossover would be in there. I mean, there's
iconic. It's not a shot, though.
There's iconic. It's a move.
It's a move.
Same way a step back is a move. He would cross over and shoot. I'm going for the whole motion. And I don't want to get caught up in a play because you got Dr. J. We could go to plays for Dr. J. I'm talking about how you get your shots off. Are we missing one, Dell? Historically or not? Oh, well, no, because there's, like, it's not iconic saying Alex English shot a certain way.
Well, Jamal Wilkes, nobody shot like that.
Yeah, that was unusual. But moves, like a go-to move? I think we'll have to think about it, but we hit the big ones.
Yeah.
And James's Euro step, too, which he actually got from Manu.
Cementing Manu's place.
The greatest.
The best European foreign-born of all time.
Yeah. You know, Dell is also... Dell has learned Skip Bayless troll game.
He's Skip Olale.
I don't learn from Skip. I've never watched that show in my life.
Skip Olale is not the nickname you want.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, someone asked me yesterday about... he tweeted, hey, Dell, what documentary was that Russian? Because we're talking about the Miracle on Ice, and I told John it wasn't that big of a miracle because the 80 team, they're all having sex with each other's wives, the Russian team, so they weren't as focused. And someone tweeted me, hey, can you point me towards that documentary? Yeah, that doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. Although there is a doc on the Russian side of it.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Oh, is there really?
But it didn't have anything to do with having sex with each other's wives.
The 30 for 30 thing.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a storyline where those guys were having sex with each other's wives. Like I said, there was.
The kids are on their way to school too, Joe.
Sex is not a bad word.
Did you just make that up?
No, yeah. He just made it up. All right, time for you to talk about the Rockets. Don't make stuff up.
No, don't make stuff up. Don't make up things like, ooh, James Jr. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he's doing it every single night out there at Toyota. Well, not every single night, but every single time they're at Toyota Center. That's what James is doing. And you got a chance to see that history by headed out to Toyota Center and checking it out for yourself. Now, here's the deal with the Rockets. They always have different things going on. Be the first to welcome home the Rockets after the All-Star break when they welcome Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks at Toyota Center. That is coming up on February 25th. So you have a few days. You got 6 days. Be the first to welcome them back. You got a mix and match Monday. That's next Monday. Ticket promotion presented by Lee Ning. You can purchase one all-inclusive ticket for as low as $29, and you're going to get a free bottle of beer, water, or soda, one free popcorn or hot dog, and one free red or black Rockets jersey t-shirt. Go to Rockets.com to check it out for yourself. And don't forget, this Saturday, Best Ballers in Houston are getting together for the Rockets Blacktop Battle on the Hardwood. For more information or to get your team registered, make sure that you go to Rockets.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 735. Reese wants to get in here and he wants to talk about James Harden. Hey, Reese, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. Thanks for taking my call. I think one move. I think Dirk little fadeaway. I think that was kind of iconic.
Yeah, we said that.
We mentioned that.
We mentioned that. Oh, okay. The one footed. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So I listen to a podcast that's some guy that's not here locally, and I think what they believe with James Harden is he doesn't play defense. He travels and he's just a volume shooter. I mean, take for what it's worth. I don't know why nobody likes him. That's just, you know, one of the things that people believe about his game is he's lazy. And I think it doesn't help. I think people forget about the OKC thing in the finals. And also when he framed out against the Spurs, like he kind of quit.
No one forgets that, Reese.
Not people that's not from Houston. I think he just has to heal his reputation. By overcoming the Warriors or something like that.
Yep.
For people to kind of start, I guess, filling this game a little bit more, other than him being just a volume shooter. So that's it, guys.
Yep, appreciate it. He is a volume shooter, but most of the time when you talk about volume shooters, you say, well, they can't score because they have to shoot in bunches. Like AI was like that. AI shot in bunches and he shot in the 30% range. Might get to low 40. The difference is James's true field goal percentage is pretty good.
Really good.
James's three-point percentage is pretty good. James's free throw percentage is very high. James is an efficient scorer relative to these quote-unquote volume shooters. I don't like the label volume shooter for him. Yes, by definition, he takes a decent amount of shots, but there are nights where he doesn't take a ton of shots, and he still gets in the 30s and even close to the 40s because of the free throw. So I don't feel comfortable just calling him volume shooter because that's typically means it's a negative connotation.
Well, the tweet came out last week. Jonathan Fagan did a big article on it, retweeted it. He's a 36-point scorer with the greats of the game, Elgin Baylor, Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and he takes fewer shots, fewer free throws, and he assists more than all of those guys. Anybody who scores 36 or more. And that's unbelievable. Because we look at him and go, he's AI. He's not AI.
He's not even close to AI.
He's not even close. No.
But that's my whole point. I've never thought he was AI because he's efficient. AI would kind of drive me crazy. I thought the NBA was in a bad place when AI was the best player because they did not have great superstars. The level of play, the game itself was really ugly. That's the Steve and Coutinho Rockets, the same era. But James is a smooth offensive weapon. James is multi-talented. It's not just coming off screens and getting knocked to the ground and taking a bunch of shots. James is a phenomenal offensive talent, but he is also a more efficient scorer and efficient shooter. It's just true. So I think the volume shooting thing, that's usually a negative connotation. I don't see that with him. Defensively, he's better than he was, but he's never going to get away from the James Harden not paying attention to basketball mixtape that came out. I don't think he's ever getting away from that. Mm-hmm. That has permanently damaged his rotation. Reputation. I truly believe that. That video was so damning of him not even paying attention at all. I mean, not even remotely. His care factor, and then they show it and spotlight it on TNT where somebody's coming down the court and he'll do a half-ass, you know, side reach when he's the last man back, and then they just go right by for an easy basket. That stuff seems to stick with people, and it's one basket, it's 2 points, but man, when that gets in people's heads, it stays there, and I think it's really hurt his perception. As far as the travel thing, is that really, like, yeah, James has had, clearly, I think, I'm not going to get in arguments about the gather is not a step. Look, we know James takes advantage of some of those travel rules, or they don't call. He didn't take advantage of it. They don't call it. Oh well, too bad, so sad.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't call it, it's not travel. Euro step's not travel either. See, I think all those are excuses. Just say that you don't like his game, and say that you think he's a loser in the postseason, or he's not clutch. I'd have more respect for you than just trying to, like. There's really no reason to try to come up with. The defensive mixtape is damning. He has come up so tiny. For me, I have a hard time getting that quit out against the Spurs. It was a quit.
Well, it's not only that. It's the 11 turnovers against Golden State.
No, it's all of it. But it's one thing to make turnovers.
It's over 27 when he needed to make a basket and pull them out of it.
For me, I can't do quitting. I can't do quitting. Yeah. I never thought he quitted other than that was an obvious quit when he stopped trying to play basketball. And I don't know why to this day. I guess it was that Mike D'Antoni. So I don't know if Mike D'Antoni said something at halftime. I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, James said, I'm not going to play my hardest this game. And it was so blatantly obvious. He was standing 26 feet from the basket and was just giving the ball up and not, like, it was the exact opposite of the game before. It was obvious he didn't want to be there. And I have in my heart, that hurt my heart.
Yeah.
For him. And I have a hard time. But I was on board last year, and I hit reset, and he was MVP, and he was awesome.
Me too.
But, I mean, it's still in there. I sure would like him to get past the Warriors, and guess what? It's probably never going to happen.
But
they're a super team. You're not going to beat
them. I don't know that that'll ever go. I don't know that that'll ever go. And you and I think, are different because fans just go, oh, after that game five, was that game six or game five?
Game six.
Game six. After that game six, you know he went out to the club, and people were chanting MVP, MVP. I was disgusted by that. I was pure, but that's what they're fans. And you know what? They love him, and that's all there is. And it doesn't matter because he's a star, and he makes all that money, and he likes dancers with big booties, and that's fine.
But I don't think people are into him because of that. I think they're into him because of his basketball.
Well, yeah, but he's a star because he's a star.
He can do whatever he wants off the field.
No, he's a star, and he can do. That's right. No, I don't care. I'm not holding that against him.
Well,
I'm
just saying what he does. Dancer, that's irrelevant.
I'm just saying. I'm just like Vince and chicken wings. That's all. There's nothing I can do about it. There's just nothing I can.
Well,
do.
Well, I don't. I mean, but I do think people do hold that against him. We can say we don't, but it even come up with now. No. Why did it come up?
But people. No, people don't. People don't. I mean, people.
But it does for
people,
you.
No, James is a star, and I think we are a lot more critical of him.
100%. We're in the bubble.
Yeah,
we're in the extreme minority. Rockets fans
are
all in for James and should be.
James,
except for if he doesn't perform well.
James is already a Hall of Famer.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
He's all, his jersey's already retired at Toyota.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to be a lifelong Rocket. I mean, he had his little Oklahoma City thing, but they're going to keep.
No, he's.
Yeah. He's a Rocket. He's a life.
Yeah, it's already. It's a life. He's going to be hanging next to the Dream. He's going to be hanging there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing. James is with us forever. He's part of us.
I mean, unless you don't. Now, listen, if you don't like 36 points a game, you're not going to like him.
No, and if Ben has been more efficient than Michael Jordan, you're not going to like him.
Yeah, if you don't like better efficiency than Wilt, Michael Jordan, and Kareem, you're really not going to like James
Harden. You're not going to. You're going to hate James. So keep on hating. Keep on with your hate. Right now, though, how about loving? That's what we need. We need more love in the world. And you know where we get it? ForHims.com/John5. Yeah, it may be something that you maybe have to take a pill for it. Okay, so it's still loving. Would you rather take the pill and have love or not take the pill and be frustrated and you know what? She's looking for love elsewhere because that's going to happen. That's going to happen. So do this. Do this for me. Go to forhims.com/John5. Spend $5. That's all it is. Five measly freaking dollars. That's it. That's all it is. $5, and you, my friends, are going to be able to have relations again. And she's going to love you for it. Who cares how it happened? It happened. It's happening. And it's happening because you are going to forhims.com/John5. forhims.com/John5. Just $5 that initial visit, that first month. You get the generic equivalent, and you're making love again. Do it. Stop with the worrying. Go to forhims.com/John5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 750, 703-780-3776.
During a break, we were just talking about Iverson versus Harden. I wasn't an AI guy. I like James. AI, to me, he had his moments. Like, he had some great individual moments, mm-hmm. and he was tough. Now, he was extremely, he was a tough, tough dude, and he was very, very talented and athletic. And it was kind of cute that he was small and was a two-guard, like he was this tiny six-foot-two guard that was
he was tough as nails.
Yeah, he was very, very tough. I just thought he took some bad shots. He took ill-advised shots. He took a ton of them. I don't know that anyone's arguing necessarily about it, but AI shot 100 billion times. Like, there would be some games where I was like, God, man, this is hard to watch. The combination of Allen Iverson and Snow. What was Percy? Is it Percy Snow?
Percy. It was Eric.
No, Eric Snow, yeah. Not Percy. Eric Snow.
Was the singer,
point,
wasn't he?
The point, I think so. The point guard who had no jumper. It was rough watching that team. Deke, when you had you had this awful.
How'd they make it to the NBA?
Well, who would
final?
You rather shoot? If Harden and Beverly, or that's the equivalent. Would you rather see Beverly take 15 shots or Harden take them all?
Beverly made
like Eric Snow and Allen Iverson in that backcourt.
No. You want the guy who makes more. Although Beverly always shot better from three than you think. Like, it felt like he didn't, and there he was, look, right around the 40%.
I just like to watch Beverly. Eric Snow ain't no Beverly.
And Percy Snow was he was a pretty good player on those teams defensively.
He wasn't bad, yeah.
Percy?
A linebacker.
Percy Snow from Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yep. He sure was. And he sang, too. He was awesome.
And you know, his brother is the aforementioned Eric Snow.
Yeah, no, they're brothers, yeah.
So
AI actually shot better from the field than I thought during his career, 42%. That's actually better. I figured he was like 39%. He was actually really good at 42%. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, from three, he shot 31%. His true field goal percentage was terrible. Well, I'm just telling you. 78% from free throw line. Like, I didn't think.
Yeah,
that
but
was
when
good
you
basketball.
Shoot 80 times a game, then you're gonna, then you're gonna have a lot of points.
For his career, he took almost 22 shots a game.
And he has the one thing James doesn't have. He doesn't have the scarlet letter of failing when it matters most. AI was at his best.
Yeah.
For the Sixers when they needed him.
He made big plays.
And how that team got to the finals is amazing.
Yeah. And he was a
That's because Vince Carter had to go to his graduation, remember?
Yeah.
Everyone was upset with him.
That was the worst. How are you? It was the playoffs.
Well, he made it back. They were pissed because he left, period. He didn't miss a game.
You know who would do something like that? Like a Longhorn. You know how they always have to go back to Austin?
Why you gotta...
I'm just being real about this.
Why you gotta...
You know how they always
nowhere,
have to go back?
Nicole takes a shot.
You know, they always have to go back.
And Raheel.
And like, hey, wait a minute. You have a game going today. And they would always show up on like, what the hell's that guy doing on the sideline? They got a game tonight.
They love Austin. What are you, crazy?
Sed Benson couldn't get back there fast enough.
So, a couple of things. First of all, Sean McVay. I don't want to see. You know what I don't want to see? You know what I hate about Sean McVay, Dell?
I like to spit in his mouth while he sleeps.
Yeah. He's with his
good job, me.
Russian Instagram model on the beach. And she's Instagramming photos of herself, which is just ridiculous. So that's got to stop. You know what else happened? Kirk Cousins went to Miami. Do you know? Kirk Cousins has less self-awareness than any human being ever.
Why?
Did you see what he said? He said, oh, gosh, I just, oh, let's see. I got to get it back. Gosh dang it. He says... He went out, and Kirk Cousins went to Miami. Here's what he tweeted. In 2010, I was mad at King James for leaving Cleveland, but I've been in Miami for a total of 5 minutes, and now I totally understand. What do you think Minnesota Vikings fans thought of that?
Douchey.
Of that tweet.
Wait, did you just invoke LeBron James's name just now, Kirk? Yeah. I get it now.
He was mad at LeBron James. Is he from Cleveland?
Shout out the Dolphins.
He's from the Midwest. I don't know if he's from Cleveland, though.
I don't know. For whatever reason, he was mad at LeBron, but now he gets it because he was in Miami for 5 minutes. What do you think Vikings fans thought of his tweet?
Hey, I know it's 5 degrees here right now, and you're enjoying Miami, but how about you get us to the playoffs?
How about... Yeah, but you got highly overpaid to put up with the Colts. I think you'll be okay. Delete Twitter is something that was pretty popular with that response. Stop it. Michael Jordan saying stop it. Just every Vikings fan.
Why do you think those are all Vikings fans? They're just people who don't like Kirk Cousins, I bet.
Well, it's Vikings fans are top on that list. They're absolutely Vikings fans. Dude didn't get him to the playoffs.
Go to their bio.
When they gave him $93 million.
He had a tweet either last week or a couple weeks ago that had them upset. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Yeah, no. He wanted, what should I give away?
Oh, yeah.
What should I give away? A jersey? What do you guys want me to give you? How about your contract back?
Yeah, and those are Vikings.
Yeah, those are Vikings. These are Vikings. I mean, you could stay there if you want. Pretty sure Minnesota fans are mad you left Washington. Here's the deal: is if you have a crappy year like that, like Kirk Cousins, if you're 4-26 against winning teams in your career, 4-26 against winning teams in your career, I think you need to stop tweeting when you make $90 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. $90 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm. 756 ESPN. 97.
By the way, I'm just looking this up. In his first 10 years, Allen Iverson had 22 shots a game or more, 8 out of 10 years. James has played in the league for 10 years. He's had 22 or more once this year.
This is the first year.
Yeah, and every single one of Allen Iverson's years, his best field goal percentage, he shot better than 42%. During that time frame I'm talking about, he shot better than 42% twice in his first 10 years from the field. shot better than 42% twice in 10 years. James, on the other hand, this is why it's not even comparable. James has shot better than 40 out of his 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of 10 years. The only year was his rookie year when he shot 40%. 9 of 10 years, James has shot 43% or better. And really, if I wanted to take it up to 44%, it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 10
years. And despite those numbers, I think a lot of the free world would say, give me AI.
Yeah, but it just goes to show you there's bias.
They're a lot of the free.
No, it's just bias.
It's wrong.
There's a cultural thing too, because AI ushered in a new culture of basketball.
Right. I'm biased toward Craig DeCerf.
Well, everyone is. Everyone should be, because Craig DeCerf is the guy who leads the charge over there in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. What they do at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is they go above and beyond with in three different ways. First is going to be the selection. They have a huge selection of vehicles, more than a lot of places in Houston, because they do have a big lot that they can operate off of. They're in Angleton. They have lower overhead. They have a lot where they can keep more cars in the on the lot. That's first and foremost. The second thing is a Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Their prices, we talked about the overhead, their prices are going to be a lot lower because they don't have to meet that same overhead need with their rent and things like that. And then lastly, their trade-in value and their service. I want to talk about trade-in value. That's where they really have a lot of flexibility. They can offer you whatever they need to offer you to get you the best opportunity to purchase one of their vehicles. Like, for example, 0% financing on the brand-new 2019 Yukon and Yukon XL for 72 months for qualified buyers. 0% financing for 72 months? That's insane. It's not as insane as the fact that they will drive your car and your papers to sign all the way into Houston if they need to, because that's what their customer service is about. Not just the service department when you bring it in to get service, but also at the purchase point. They will make sure and do whatever it takes to make it as convenient as possible for you. You've got the crossover vehicles, the pickup trucks, the cars, and of course, you've got a variety of SUVs as well. For all their inventory, go to LanceZCars.com. 316 vehicles in stock right now. Which one is for you?
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.